Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rocket. I ain't taking a rocket.
Well, there won't be people on board the Antares rocket that launches this afternoon, but there'll be a lot of supplies. And we've got a guy who knows exactly what the astronauts who were waiting for these supplies in the International Space Station right now are thinking. Bob Kerbeam is a graduate of the Naval Academy. He helped build the International Space Station, and it now works for Northrop Grumman, who, of course, that company built the Antares rocket and the Cygnus unit that is going up into space. We've got our fingers crossed that this is going to happen today. Bob, tell me what's on board Cygnus and what the astronauts who are waiting for this thing to arrive must be thinking today.
Well, Cygnus is a resupply spacecraft. So it's got about 3,500 kilograms of supplies. There's food, there's things for them to do science experiments on and so forth. So there are a lot of supplies just to want to keep them alive and also help them do their job.
And when you talk about food, six people, this is the max for individuals on the space station, right? Sometimes they're two or three, but we've maxed out at six right now.
Yes, and in the past we've had more
there
just for very short amounts of time,
okay,
like when there's a visiting vehicle and all. Mm-hmm. But yes, it's designed to house and keep six people alive for, you know, an extended period of time. As a matter of fact, you know, it's been continuously manned for over 20 years now, so it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. What's different about it today compared to when you were up there? During the commercial break, it was really interesting to talk to Bob. I wish you could have eavesdropped on our conversation, because he was talking about rewiring the thing and retrofitting it in some ways. Tell me about what's different today from when you were there.
Well, the big thing when I was there was actually building space station. Mm-hmm. So most of our focus, most of our missions were about building it, and resupply was a little bit smaller of an issue, and also had less people living up there. Mm-hmm. Now it's about doing the kinds of science that we want to do up there, and that's what Antares and Cygnus does. It allows us access to space to get the things they need up there to do their jobs. You know, everything from keeping them alive to actually performing the experiments and keeping the maintenance up on the spacecraft. So the focus is no longer assembly. Now it's actually operations. And Cygnus and Antares are a big part of that.
And there are a number of experiments that are going up into space this afternoon, some of them created by students right here in Virginia, as Andy mentioned during our newscast. Fill me in a little bit about how those are selected, and do you work with Northrop Grumman to find the perfect match, NASA, the students, and Northrop Grumman to make that work?
Well, we cooperate with NASA, but that's mostly a NASA decision. Mm-hmm. You know, our job is to provide them with the vehicles that'll get them from Wallops Island onto orbit and safely dock to space station. And that's the important part. That's the part that we focus on. Mm-hmm. They focus on exactly what'll be there. And one of the great things about this vehicle, because we have a capability to load cargo very late if NASA changes their mind or they have a certain failure or something on orbit, they can then adjust what our load is. We can put that stuff on board and get it up there quickly for them. So although we have some experiments from local Virginia schools, which is very, very cool, and we're launching out of Virginia, which is very, very cool. We're very proud of that. Our job is to get the stuff there, not necessarily decide what NASA wants
up
there.
And so this is the 11th resupply in this contract for Northrop Grumman. Tell me a little bit about your company and the relevance it has to this particular site. I got to tell you, growing up in Richmond, I didn't even know that there was a NASA facility outside of Langley, perhaps. I didn't know we were actually launching here. It's pretty interesting.
It's very interesting, and it brings, you know, when people think of space launches, they usually think of Kennedy Space Center or Cape Canaveral. Well, we also have that capability here at Wallops, which is very cool. It's very nice because we're headquartered here. Our sector is headquartered here in Virginia. Like I said, we're taking up some local Virginia experiments as well. So we have a very, very strong tie to the Commonwealth and do most of our work here. So it's nice to have a launch facility here at Wallops that we can then access the International Space Station.
A lot of our audience, especially at this early hour, they're business people. So I would assume that the ecosystem, the economic ecosystem surrounding launches like this is pretty significant and pretty important.
It's very significant. I mean, we build the Cygnus spacecraft, the actual, what we call the bus or the service module, over in Dulles, Virginia. And then we truck it over here to Wallops. And so, yes, it does play a big part of our business and also a lot of local businesses to do the launch and fabrication and the assembly here in Virginia.
I will be live on the air with our afternoon host, Jeff Katz, at 4:46 when we hope this rocket will launch. But Bob Kerbeam has been into space, has done the spacewalks, helped build the International Space Station. And while there won't be people on this launch today, what's happening right now as NASA and Northrop Grumman prepare for the launch at 4:46?
Well, like I said, one of the unique things about the vehicle, about Cygnus, is you can late load cargo, is what we call. And so we do all of our integration in the horizontal. So the rocket's laying on its side. We put the last things in last night, and then they'll take it, they'll truck it out to the launch pad. They'll raise it into the vertical, and that happened a few hours ago. And then they'll fuel it up, and it'll go. So I've got my fingers crossed for good weather this afternoon, and I hope you see a wonderful launch. I can't stress enough, if you ever get a chance to come out and see a launch, come out and see them, because I tell people you see launches on TV, but you feel them in person.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty excited about it, and I was talking to some of our guys as we loaded in this morning to get ready for this broadcast. They're expecting the largest crowd for a launch at Wallops Island this afternoon. I mean, it's spring break, and supposedly the weather is going to be fantastic. So, at least a few thousand people out here will fill up the island. The launch scheduled for 4:46. I'll be live with Jeff Katz on his program this afternoon. And, of course, you can watch live coverage on NASA TV by going to nasa.gov, and it'll be on their homepage. Bob Kerbeam. And you've got local connections to Richmond, you were saying?
I do. My mom lives in the Richmond metro area, and I have two siblings that live in the
Fantastic.
Richmond metro area.
Well, who knew that we've got an astronaut in our midst when you come back to see family? Bob Kerbeam, who has been to the International Space Station on a number of occasions, helped build the thing, and has walked in space. I really appreciate your expertise in getting up early for us this morning.
Well, thanks for the invitation. Yeah. You have a great day, John.
Thank you. Oh, good choice, good choice. We are live for a special edition of Read on the Road, presented by Audio Express of Richmond and Chronic Care of Richmond, here at Wallops Island on the eastern shore of Virginia. And Keith Kohler has been a pen pal of mine for the last several months because he knows I really was eager to be here and broadcast live for one of these launches. Keith is the news chief for NASA at Wallops. And Keith, a lot of Virginians, I mean, I grew up in Richmond. I had no idea that NASA was launching ships from the Eastern Shore.
Yeah, I mean, actually, Wallops has been launching rockets since 1945. So we've launched over 16,000 rockets since that time. So, but a lot of the stuff we do is small. We've actually been launching satellites since 1960. But again, it's not the big stuff. It's not,
The space shuttle down at Cape Canaveral.
It's not the human space flight, which everybody, you know, knows about. And it's not the, you know, typical, you know, large spacecraft going to other planets and those types of things.
But you wouldn't be able to do those launches without the test launches here. I was looking in your museum yesterday in between some of the briefings about the sounding rocket launches where the equipment is tested?
Yeah, a lot of the great thing about sounding rockets is you can test new technologies. So you can get a rocket ready to go in 1 to 2 years. And so you're flying these new technologies, testing them out, and then you'll eventually we'll put them on spacecraft that will fly to other planets or wherever. So that's really what we're involved in, really the grassroots, so to speak, of the technology development.
In our next half hour, we're going to talk to an astronaut, Bob Kerbeam, who helped build the International Space Station originally and is now working for Northrop Grumman, the company that has built the Antares rocket, which will launch today, and the Cygnus cargo delivery unit that's going up to the space station. He has an interesting perspective. But, you know, Keith Kohler, you've been here for a lot of launches. What should we expect is happening right now as we count down to 4:46 when the button is pushed, I guess, and the blast off, to quote Andy,
the blast
happens.
Off, yeah. Yeah, but we'll actually start to count down at 11:46 a.m., so about 5 hours before launch. They'll actually start. So right now, here on the range, on the Wallops side, NASA side, we do all the tracking and those type of things. So guys are, and you know, all the personnel are showing up to test out the systems to make sure everything that we do to support the launch is ready to go and ready to, when the countdown starts. Down on the launch pad, you know, during the final preps of the vehicle, you know, the oxygen line, fuel lines have been connected, and so they're just doing really the final preparations that are needed in order to start to count here just a couple hours away.
And how many Antares launches have taken place here at Wallops?
We have done nine. Mm-hmm. There have been 11 Cygnus spacecraft. This would be the 11th Cygnus spacecraft. Two of them actually were flown on Atlas vehicles out of the Cape a few years ago. And so, we've had nine launches.
Now, we're counting on today being successful. It looks like the weather's going to cooperate, and I know watching the briefing yesterday with all the techs and the leaders of the different specialties for this launch, it sounds like they're on their game. But I am reminded that this is dangerous and it doesn't always go as planned. You had an unsuccessful launch a few years ago.
Yeah, I mean, they call it rocket science for a reason. And you make all the preparations you possibly can. But there are a lot of moving parts to any launch vehicle, whether it be the Antares or, you know, some of the bigger rockets or even the small rockets. And so and there's a lot of physics that goes on in building a rocket, and everything has to behave exactly right. And if one thing doesn't go right, then you end up with issues. Hopefully, everything will go well today. Everything is looking good. 95% probability of good weather for today, yeah. Which is great. And I think everybody's ready.
I was watching the body language and the faces of some of the people who have big responsibilities for this launch today when we were talking with them yesterday. And I was gauging, are they easy? Are they casual? And it looked like there was maybe a bit of anxiety or nervousness. What do you think the tension is? Is there tension here as you count down?
It's a good tension. I think as you get ready for a launch, you know, everybody really starts to focus on what it is that we have to do, you know, the task at hand, whether it be the folks with Virginia Space and the spaceport and the pad support, the rocket people, Cygnus, the ranger at Wallop, the safety and tracking. You know, everybody really starts to focus on their task. And so, you know, you just want to make sure that everything you do is done right and done safely.
Well, it's an impressive scene this morning. I just posted a picture on the John Reed Show Facebook page. The Antares rocket, 139 feet tall, just about the time the sun was coming up this morning.
Right.
The NASA photographer was out there snapping photos. So you can see what the rocket looks like now. And then you can join us here on the air at 4:46 this afternoon with Jeff Katz during his program. We'll broadcast live as the launch takes place. Of course, if you want to see the visuals, it's at nasa.gov, the live coverage of the launch here from Wallops Island. And there will be a lot of Virginia students who are watching this launch because some of their experiments are on board.
Yeah, it's quite a bit of Virginia educational activities. We have with the Virginia Space Grant Consortium, you have three small satellites, what we call CubeSats, that were built by UVA, Virginia Tech, ODU, and Hampton. But then we also have something called ThinSats, which is a program with Virginia Space. So we have 63 of these small, about the size of a slice of bread, satellites that are being flown for the first time. These are high school, college students from nine different states, a lot of them, probably most of them from Virginia. Mm-hmm. And so it's real exciting. We'll have probably 250 to 300 of those students on site to watch their launch. So.
And then the data comes back to the students and they analyze it? Is that?
Yeah, the data comes back to Virginia Space, and then they will distribute the data. Each one lasts for about 5 days. I mean, it's not a long time, but the idea is that it gives students an idea of, you know, what does it take to build a satellite. Even though it's a small one, they still go through a lot of the steps, a lot of the program reviews, just like we would for, you know, the larger satellites, just not on the same scale. But, you know, it's a good educational activity, and that's really what it's meant for, is the education. And they'll know fairly soon whether or not they're getting, you know, the ping from the satellites. Shortly after the second stage releases the Cygnus spacecraft onto its way to the space station, that's when they'll release the satellites. And so they'll know fairly soon whether or not the system is working. So this is the first flight of ThinSats. So I think everybody's really excited about
Yeah, the next generation of scientists, you got to give them an opportunity to participate in that.
You got to give them an opportunity. It has to be low cost, and I think this program sounds like it does that.
Well, Virginia's proud of them for being a part of this NASA launch. And before we go, Keith, I had to chuckle yesterday because at the conclusion of all of this, the thing launches today, Friday, presumably. It will connect with the International Space Station 250 miles above the Earth. And then in 8 months, 12 months, depends on when you all hit the button, this becomes a huge garbage can that plunges back to Earth.
Yeah.
What's the story there?
Yeah, well, Cygnus is unlike the SpaceX Dragon capsule, which actually lands and they go out and recover it and they can pull the science off of it. You know, it's just like your house. You accumulate trash.
At the space station.
Yeah. At the space station. So you have to get rid of that. And that's what Cygnus does. It after it delivers the 7,600 pounds of supplies to the space station, they'll over the next couple months, they'll load all their trash that they want to get rid of on board the Cygnus. It will then separate from the space station. They'll release some satellites that they still have on there, some small CubeSats. And then they will do an extended mission where they'll be looking at the possibility of using Cygnus for longer durations. And then after that, yeah, it just enters and burns up in the atmosphere, and that's how you get rid of the trash.
And a lot of our audience have the flexibility of calling in and saying, you know what, I've got a meeting. I'm going to be gone for a few hours. If someone wanted to see the launch in person today, is that possible?
It's possible. A lot of it depends on where you're located and the cloud cover for today, I think.
If you get out to the Eastern Shore, you'll see.
Oh, the Eastern Shore, yeah, definitely. You should be able to see it, provided, again, cloud cover, I think, is going to be the big issue, even if you have some high clouds. You'll be able to see the launch with no problem, especially if you're in the Wallops area.
Yeah.
You'll see it, you'll feel it, and you'll hear it.
Only 3 hours and 20 minutes from Richmond. Not that I would ever encourage anybody to skip work or school, but
we never do that. So, yeah.
If you're sitting in the car listening to this broadcast thinking, man, you know what, this is something I would like to see in person. I've seen a launch here. I saw the final night launch of the space shuttle years ago in person down in Florida, and it was just mind-blowing to see it up close, and NASA provided me with the opportunity to do that. I'm really excited about today. So Keith Kohler, who's the news chief for NASA here at Wallops Island on the Eastern Shore of Virginia, I really appreciate you opening up early for us so we could broadcast, and we're excited. A little nervous about the launch at 4:46. Make sure you tune in live with Jeff Katz for his program. I will be talking to Jeff, and we'll carry the NASA feed so you can hear that 10-9-8 countdown till blast off, as Andy puts it, this afternoon. Thanks so much, Keith. I appreciate it.
Good to be here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.